Good morning. It's a joy to be here with all of you again and to start a new series today. And we'll continue with this the rest of the month. And before we begin, I just want to read a portion. John's Gospel chapter 14. John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 16. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ saying this. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, I think it's probably been a while since we looked at the person of the Holy Spirit. Probably was quite a while back, and we probably did it here and there in our study of the Word. But looking at this verse, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ has with great anticipation, you know, and this is before his departure. He is reminding and reassuring and promising his disciples right there in that room that he will send another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So when you talk about another helper, the Lord Jesus Christ was there with them all these three and a half years. And the relationship that they enjoyed, that they had, was very deep, very close, day after day, day in and day out. And they were sad and distressed to know that the Lord is departing, as he has been telling them. You know, they couldn't fully grasp it, but he is departing. It's happening. But he's telling them, I will send you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now, let's just think of that, right? So, you have read these portions and you know that this is referring to Parakletos, helper, the one who comes alongside, the comforter. And so another helper, meaning another helper like me. So the Lord Jesus Christ is promising this other helper. So we have a helper, an advocate in the heavenlies, Jesus Christ, who advocates for us, who intercedes for us before the Father. We also have the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord Jesus Christ had promised to his disciples at the time. And so he came on the day of Pentecost, and he has been with us forever since that time. So when we think about the Holy Spirit, I think all of you will probably agree with me that this is probably the least understood and known persons of the Trinity. You'll agree with me on that? Probably, right? Yeah, I see quite a few nodding your head. So I think that's something that that we all agree with, that he is the person of the Trinity that we probably know the least of, right? So, I mean, that, I think it's something to be a little concerned about if that's the case, right? Because the Lord Jesus Christ had promised that this person of the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is going to be with you, and he will be in you for 1 hour, 2 hours, 1 day, 2 days, forever. He is going to be with you forever. So he is abiding in us. All those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have him in us. So something to think about, right? So I was just thinking about, Solomon in 1 Kings when he built the temple, that beautiful, glorious temple that he built in all its excellence and splendor and all that it was, you know, and then Solomon in his great prayer, we know that, I don't have to turn to that, Solomon prayed that heaven and, heaven of heavens cannot contain you, much less this temple that I have built, right? And we saw that that sacrifice, you know, like thousands of animals were sacrificed there, and such a grand and great feast it was, and such a grand temple, which never was and never will be on earth by human beings, a temple like that. But we see that Solomon's prayer indicated that his awareness, his knowledge, that his God is far superior, far greater than, you know, than anything or anywhere that he could, you know, put or build for him to be, that this is not worthy of him, you know. But just to think about it, you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are God's temple. We are. And not just, you know, that beautiful tabernacle, that beautiful temple that was destroyed and wiped out and gone, and we don't see any remnants of it anymore. But this is a relationship forever, that we are the temple of God where the Holy Spirit dwells in forever. I mean, that is amazing. That is incredible just to think about that. So knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us forever, dwelling in us, dwelling in you and dwelling in me. And when I look at you, when you look at me, when we come together to worship, when we consider one another, just to realize that this is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Puts things in a different perspective, doesn't it? That when you're talking to somebody, when you're saying to somebody, or more so when you're talking against somebody, a brother, a sister, anybody else, remember, that is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. God dwells in us, those of us who belong to him. I mean, that's an amazing thought. We know that, right? But do we know it, right? Do we understand and appreciate and accept it for all that it means and all that is, right? So given that, you know, the name of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, number one, of course, we know that he is holy. He is holy. But just to think that this holy person, the third person of the Trinity, is living in me, is living in us, that we have him living in us. So something to make us take a step back and think about it, right? So if we have God, the Holy Spirit, living in me, shouldn't I live the life that he wants me to live? The things that I think, the things that I do, the things that I say, where I go, what I do, he is living in me. Something to consider. Does that affect, does that have an impact on what we do on a day-to-day basis? We gather here on Sunday mornings, we do, and we worship the Lord. We gather here on Wednesday evenings and different times of the week. But the rest of the time, remember, we are still the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in us wherever we are. Whatever we do, we cannot escape from his presence. And we'll come to that again in one of the verses that we look at. So God dwells in you. God dwells in me. Should that make a difference in how I consider myself? Should that make a difference in how we consider one another in our dealings and interactions with one another? Now, when you think of spirit, you know, it's difficult for our human minds to comprehend, you know, a person being a spirit, right? So when you think of a person, what do you think? You think, when you think of person, you think of a human being, right? Yes? You think of a human being. You think of somebody that you can witness. Brother Johnson sitting right in front of me. So Brother, I'm going to use you here. So when I think of Johnson, I know that Brother Johnson, he's a good-looking, well-groomed man, and he's got some muscles. He's a strong man. I wouldn't want to tangle with him. So I know he's intelligent. I know he is a very loving man. He has emotions. I know he has a will, and he decides that he will do certain things, and he will do it, and so on. So he has intelligence. He has emotions. He has a will. I know he prays, and we heard him this morning. So all of those things you can identify with a person, right? So When you think of Johnson, it's not a it or a thing or a power. He's a person, right? So that our minds can kind of comprehend. So, but when the Holy, is the Holy Spirit really a person? Something to think about. So what do we identify as a person? So those things we mentioned, right? So, okay, yes, because number one, he has the characteristics of a person. So he has intelligence. And the Spirit is said to know the things of God. Let's turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. This is thinking about all the wonderful things that God has prepared. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. So the Spirit knows all things of God. The Spirit knows the deep things of God. Now, when we consider, and we actually looked at the attributes of God last year, didn't we? And we saw all those remarkable things of God, and we looked at creation, and some of the brothers, you know, projected those slides of the vast expanse of the universe and all that is there, and even the minutest creation, and God's wisdom and power behind all of that. But, and we often say, I cannot understand, right? I cannot comprehend how God just spoke all of this into existence, and they are there, and the human, you know, mind cannot even fathom it. The telescopes, you know, the more powerful telescopes are just discovering things which have not been seen before. So it's not that they were never there. It's just that telescopes are not powerful enough to see those things. So the wisdom of God is far beyond human comprehension. But the Holy Spirit knows the things of God, and He has intelligence, right? So that's for sure. There's no question or doubt about that. The Holy Spirit has intelligence. And we see also in Romans 8:27, the verse there. And in Romans 8:27, what do we read there about the Holy Spirit? Okay, Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it talks about the mind of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has intelligence. The Holy Spirit has a mind, the mind of the Spirit. So intelligence, no doubt there, not a question. Emotions. We know that in Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at that quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Holy Spirit has emotions. How do we know that? Because in chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. It is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. So something to think about, right? So given that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we have the Holy Spirit living in us day after day after day, minute after minute after minute. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So what grieves the Holy Spirit? Sin, right? Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And how often do we grieve the Holy Spirit? A lot of times, don't we? So it is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does have emotions. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit has a will, right? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, portion that talks about the gifts. So we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Thank you. So the Spirit distributes spiritual gifts as He wills, as He chooses. And thank you, brother. So others of you know the verses there. So if you can do that, it'll be a help to me. Thank you. So the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts as He chooses, as He wills. So If you and you and you have a spiritual gift, know that that is a spiritual gift that is given to you specifically by the Holy Spirit according to His will, for that to be used in a particular way for the glory of God. So, and that probably will lead us to another question we will address later on. Do you know your spiritual gift? There's no one who does not have a spiritual gift, but do we know what it is? And if we do, do we use it the way God wants us to use it? So he is a real person because he has the characteristics of a person. He has intelligence, he has emotions, and he has a will. And the second thing is he acts like a person, right? In Romans 8:26, we see that he prays. A person prays. Anybody got that? Romans 8:26? Thank you. So we see that the Holy Spirit, whom we already mentioned, dwells in us, who is with us constantly, prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, right? So we saw earlier that the Spirit knows the things of God, right? And God knows the Spirit, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, knows God the Father, right? And there's nothing hidden between them, the Trinity, something that we struggle to even put our minds around, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is God in one, right? So the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who dwells in you and dwells in me, makes intercession for us, especially in our weaknesses, our frailties, and our inadequacies, with groanings that cannot be uttered, right? So just think about that. This blessed person, the third person of the Trinity that we have in us, that we sometimes completely are not even aware of, that we maybe even ignore at times. We have the blessed third person of the Trinity dwelling in us. Since he dwells in us, he knows us so well, doesn't he? He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. And he makes intercession for us before God the Father with groanings that cannot be uttered, to cover our infirmities, our weaknesses, our failures, inadequacies. You know, because we pray, we do, with words, but we often come to that conclusion, right, that our words are so limited. They are so inadequate. What can I say? So inadequate. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the second point is he acts like a person because he performs miracles. In Acts chapter 8, verse 39, we see the Holy Spirit verse 39, that when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And we see that Philip was there, you know, just evangelizing and teaching and preaching to the eunuch. But the moment that was done, he was just snatched away by the Spirit, and he was not there anymore, taken to a different place. So the Holy Spirit performs miracles. So we see, I mean, if you read the book and study the book of Acts, we see that it's packed with the wonderful works of the Holy Spirit, right? Brother George Samuel is taking a study on Acts in Watermere on Mondays. And we see that, you know, the Holy Spirit works in such a remarkable way in the early church. And it's not that that activity is limited to the early church, but it has happened through the centuries, even today. But it is important for us to acknowledge and accept and receive that, and to be, you know, to know that, you know, the Holy Spirit is available to us, in us, that we may not grieve the Holy Spirit, allow Him to work in us. And we'll come to more of what the Spirit does in our lives, in the lives of the believers as we go along. So, and thirdly, He is designated a person. So in John 16, verses 13 and 14, that's a beautiful portion that we see there, in John's Gospel, chapter 16, all those portions are such beautiful portions, John 13, 14, 15, 16. And so 16, verse 13 reads, however, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, And he will tell you things to come. So he's talking about epistles and talking about the prophecy, right? Revelation. So the Lord is reminding his disciples there that he, the Holy Spirit of promise, but he refers to him as he, right? The Lord Jesus Christ declares him and his role. It's not as an it, not as a power. You know, there are some of the contemporary songs that are sung, right, where it projects the Holy Spirit as a power in the atmosphere. But that is not the case. The Holy Spirit is God, the third person, dwelling in us. And he uses us for his glory, for his purpose, to proclaim the name of God and to do his will. So the Holy Spirit is a person because he has the characteristics of a person. He acts like a person, and he is designated as a person by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the next point is the Holy Spirit completely God? Is he completely God? Yes. Thank you. So, yes, because, number one, he has a characteristics only possessed by God, right? He has characteristics possessed only by God. Omniscience. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 and 12. First Corinthians chapter 2 verses 11 and 12 reads, For what man knows, we looked at this earlier, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, the Holy Spirit knows God in a way in which no one else does, right? Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is omniscient. He is absolutely omniscient. He knows all things. He is omnipresent, right? In Psalm 139, verse 7, as the psalmist, you know, declares those in those verses, where that beautiful portion about, you know, God's plan and purpose for mankind and how he knows us so well. In 139, verse 7. Thank you. So the psalmist is declaring there the omnipresence of God, the psalmist David, right? And interestingly, the whole chapter talks about the omniscience of God, the omnipresence and omnipotence of God, the all-holy God. So he declares there, where can I flee from your presence? Because wherever I go, you are there. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Holy Spirit is omniscient. He has characteristics which only possessed by God. Looking at the divine attributes of God, right? They are unique attributes that only God possesses. There are some shared attributes like love and you know, peace and so on, but these are unique attributes that only God possesses. Omniscience, omnipresence. He does things which only God can do, right? So what are those things? Regeneration. So we see that in John chapter 3 verses 5 and 6, right? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus, right? And that is the Holy Spirit is involved in a person being born again. Regeneration, being born again, new birth. So I'm going faster now. And so regeneration, only God can do that. And the second point there is begetting the humanity of Jesus Christ, right? Luke chapter 1 verse 35, let's read that. It's an important portion to read. Now this is, thank you, this is something that's so awesome and it's amazing. And, you know, we often read this during Christmas time, but, you know, but just to think about that, right? That, you know, the Holy Spirit's involvement in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, begetting the humanity of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, you know, came over the Virgin Mary, and she was with child. It's an amazing, incredible thought. You know, and we see also in the Psalms and also Hebrews 10:5, we talk about a body thou hast given to me, right? So the Lord Jesus Christ was given a body. And we see how the Holy Spirit was involved in begetting the humanity of Jesus Christ. He was also involved in creation. In Psalm 104 verse 30, we see that all those portions, that whole chapter talking about the marvelous creation of God and all the creatures of the earth. And in 104 verse 30, it says, you send forth your spirit and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. You send forth your spirit, they are created. So he was involved in creation, all that vast expanse of the universe and all the might, the splendor of creation. The Holy Spirit was involved in creation. So he's involved in regeneration, in begetting the humanity of Christ, and in creation. He can do things which only God can do. He's also equal with the other persons of the Trinity. You know, there are, sometimes we take these things for granted, but you may be surprised. There are a lot of people out there that have been through the centuries, you know, brilliant, intelligent people who have not attributed to the Holy Spirit equality with God the Father or God the Son, right? And there are a lot of groups there. I don't even want to go into that. But he is equal with the other persons of the Trinity. So this identification of the Spirit with Yahweh or Jehovah of the Old Testament. Now in these portions, in Isaiah 6 verses 8 to 10, you know, it's referring to Jehovah there, Jehovah, right? But in Acts 28, 25, we can look at the Acts portion to see Acts chapter 28, verse 25. Yeah, Acts 28, verse 25. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, and so on and so forth. So this is the reference from Isaiah chapter 6. And in Isaiah, the reference was the Jehovah, right? Yahweh. So that is the word that is used there. But then the author of Acts declares that it was the Holy Spirit who spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying this. So, identification of the Spirit with what Yahweh declared in the Old Testament, equality with God. And the same thing in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34, and Hebrews 10, 15 to 17. So, in Hebrews 10, 15 to 17, we see there, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, I will write them. So the new and everlasting covenant that was declared to them. So in the old original portion, Jeremiah 31, it's the word uses Yahweh or Jehovah. But here the author of Hebrews declares, attributes that to the Holy Spirit. So equality with God. There's also equal association with the Trinity, with God the Father, God the Son, in the baptismal formula, right? In Matthew 28, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission to his disciples just before he left, he departed to heaven. Towards the end of that portion, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? So equality there in the baptismal formula, also in the benediction in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, right? We read about the benediction that is often said at the end of prayer, right? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Right? So equality even there in the benediction. So we see that the Holy Spirit is completely God. He has the characteristics possessed only by God, omniscience, omnipresence. He does things which only God can do, regeneration, begetting the humanity of Christ, creation. He is equal with the other persons of the Trinity from various portions that we looked at, and these are just a few. So my time is out, so I'm going to stop there. But just think about this blessed person, the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you, dwelling in me, and all that He intends in us, for us, for His purpose, for His glory. Do we allow Him to work in us, or do we limit His work in our lives? You know, when God chose us, He chose each one of us. He chose you and me because He has a plan and purpose in our lives, right? And we are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. So let us remember that when we go back to our homes, and we go back to our work and responsibilities and duties, and we go back to places where, you know, we may not be popular, we may not be liked, or we may be liked, or we may be, you know, people might mock or scorn or ridicule us or whatever the case may be. Remember that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you, and God has a plan. God has a purpose to use you for His glory. And we see also in the Lord Jesus Christ's statement to His disciples, right, that He will glorify me. So the Holy Spirit will enable us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in exactly the way that He wants to. But let us not limit Him. Let's not limit Him anyway, but allow Him full and free reign in our lives, beloved. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You for all that You are, all that You have done. Father, we are amazed to think of Your marvelous plan of salvation, that even we might be called the children of God and to have access into Your presence, Father, through Your Son. And we thank You for the promise of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, that You gave to us. The One who is with us, who is in us, who is abiding in us forever, through all our situations, through all our circumstances. Our Comforter, the One who is alongside with us. Father, we cannot even imagine this precious, precious gift that You have given to us. We thank You for all the marvelous privileges in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for all that You are, all that You have done. As we go through this week, Father, we seek Your guidance, Your blessing in our lives, that we may do all for the glory of God, that we may be what You want us to be. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.